Someday the stammering tongue will falter no more, and a grander, sweeter song I shall sing. And I'll join the ransom choir on heaven's bright shore, there forever to praise the King. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow old, and my song shall ever be, and my joy will never end while I look on His face, and my song will never be done. While the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow old.
That will be when we can and will see our Lord face to face. What a blessing. I'm looking forward to that day. And I can see that day quickly approaching. I can see it coming quickly. And I will tell you that was riding in India and in the evening. And whenever we were going out to the village to preach, and Brother Samuel would look at me sometimes and he would say, "Doc, no niceties. These people work hard. They've been working in the fields all day." He said, "Just preach. Just preach." So I'm going to try to skip a lot of the niceties this morning and just preach, okay? I hope you know that we love you and that we're happy to be here and we appreciate the honor. So that's enough niceties. Let's preach. In the book of Matthew, put that there, trying to get myself organized a little bit. In chapter number 23... Chapter number 23 in the book of Matthew. I want to look at a verse that actually leads us into chapter number 24. And the prophecy Jesus made concerning the destruction of the temple and the second coming. So Jesus here, let's look in verse number 39, Matthew 23. 39, Jesus standing on the Temple Mount looking out over Jerusalem. You see, the Temple Mount, that's where Herod's temple was built. That's where Herod's temple was. And he's standing now somewhere in front of that temple. It's about 2,000 feet above sea level there. So you can look out over the city of Jerusalem easily from there. So standing there, in the darkness that night. He's looking out over Jerusalem as the lights are shining. And he gives this lament over Jerusalem. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus saith unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Our Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning, to help us this morning, to use us this morning, to preach your word, and to bring the things that you've shown us by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to try, Lord willing, I've got this morning and tonight. So, yes, I have an affirmation of that. Depends on this morning, he says. I'm going to try to take my time and go through some things that the Lord has been laying on our heart. At our church at Harvest Tabernacle, on Wednesday nights, we've had our pastor and then different members of the staff, and then including myself, we have been preaching and teaching through the book of the Revelation. Because you see, it's as if since the middle of February, first of March, when all of these things hit, you know, the pandemic, the coronavirus, it seems as if everyone's focus is suddenly just narrowed in. We're focused in on the end times. And well, we should be. And when I see what has happened over the last few months and the things that have taken place, I can see how it has not only been the focus of only the U.S., this is one of the first times that I can remember that this has been a global change. That what has happened is not affecting only us here in the U.S., but it is affecting all the nations around the world. And with what is going on, we are realizing how quickly things can change. It was almost as if overnight a lot of our freedoms were suddenly taken away. Just in a few moments, I remember I was sitting in my office at the church there in the missions office, and I had tuned in over the internet and was listening to President Trump as he was speaking to the nation, and as he began to lay out his policies and things for the pandemic, and he had gathered together the infectious disease panel back in the middle of February, and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, they were talking about the shutting down of America. And they basically shut the nation down. But it wasn't just America, was it? It happened in Europe. It happened in Asia. It's happening all over the world. And even until today, it is a globalization plan of fighting the virus. What I have observed in this has been a preparation for. Now, this is not the tribulation. We are not beginning the tribulation. The tribulation will be a future day. Exactly when, I do not know. Jesus said in chapter number 24, you'll know the times and the seasons. But when the Father calls, that is only the Father knows that. But we do see clearly times and seasons, and the fig tree, which is a sign of, a type of, the nation of Israel, the figs are coming forth. And we know that summer is nigh. We know that it's even at the doors. And what we've observed through this pandemic and time of pandemic is that the end times are right upon us. When I say the end times, the next great event to take place in the church will be the rapture or the catching away of the church. That is the next event that will happen. That is imminent. It can happen at any moment. There's nothing in the Scriptures yet to be fulfilled that would keep the church from being raptured away. I am looking forward to that rapture of the church, the song we sang this morning. I am looking forward to the endless ages of being in church with the Lord and being in heaven with all the believers. There'll be nothing like it. The only thing I can, in my mind, I can liken that to is a few years ago. Actually, it was about 30 years ago or a little more. I had the opportunity to candidate as pastor at the First Baptist Church in Roswell, Georgia. And candidating there, in the evening, before the evening service, the choir was practicing. They have a choir of somewhere between 350 to 400 people in that church. And I walked into the church and they were singing, "I'll meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside." And that choir was singing, and suddenly it was as if I was transported into heaven. The Spirit got a hold of me. I started shouting and praising the Lord and thinking about that day. And my chances of being pastor at that church were over. They weren't looking for that kind of pastor. They were looking for a pastor, but they weren't looking for that kind. And that's all right. Not all of us are shouters and not all of us are criers, but some of us are. So leave me alone when the Spirit gets hold of me and I take off running. I won't always be able to do it. So while I can, I'm going to do it. But I'm looking forward to that next great event, the rapturing, the catching away of the church. I'm looking forward to that. But I also, in my heart, I have some reservations about that. And those reservations are that there are still many, many people who need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through our mission efforts and through our gospel efforts, there are those in Central South America, in the Americas. We were reminded one time by someone in South America, they said, "Don't call yourself an American as if you're the only ones. We're Americans too." So they said, those in the Americas, South America, in here in the United States, in North America, Canada, there are those who need to hear. There are those in Asia and Europe, they need to hear. So I have some reservation in the fact that I want to do all that I can right now to reach as many as I can, because I understand, realize, and know the rapture could happen at any moment. And I believe, this is my personal belief, that once the rapture happens, if you have heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then once the rapture takes place, after that, you will believe the lie and the deceptions of the false prophet and of the Antichrist, the beast, and you will be deceived, and there will be no other opportunity afforded to you. So it is important, those who have heard the gospel, do not turn away the gospel message. Receive the gospel message. This could happen at any moment, the catching away of the church. And Jesus, as He's speaking here, He is talking about Jerusalem. He's looking over Jerusalem, and I think about the globalization, how suddenly things are turning not only nationally, but they're becoming global. I do not know how many of you caught what Joseph Biden, Vice President Biden, what he said during the last debate when he was asked about oil production, fossil fuels, and fracking. What his reply was, "I will not end oil production at once, but the plan is to phase it out by 2035. Did you catch that? But what a lot of times people don't realize, or what is underlying that, is in 2015, his last year in office, President Obama, along with 186 other nations, and including Pope Francis, they signed a UN resolution called the 2030 Globalization Agenda. Part of that agenda is by 2030, and in five-year increments, there are 17 things that they mention. I have it right here. One of the things I brought up with me. One of the things that they mentioned in this 2030 agenda is a affordable and clean energy throughout the world. That is part of, when Biden said that, that is part of that 2030 agenda that was signed by the nations of the world and passed by UN resolution, where we no longer, what happens is, under that resolution, over time, every nation will give up their sovereignty and they will look to a world leader and a world department to enforce this agenda. 17 items. Some of the items I've highlighted, I'm not going to read all 17. I'll lay it down here. You can look at it if you like. But this is right off of the UN website. I just printed the text. You can go to the website if you like. You can see it for yourself. It's under the United Nations website. Number one, the Sustainable Development Agenda. Number one is no more poverty. They're going to abolish poverty around the world. They're going to abolish hunger around the world. Number three is health and well-being for all the citizens of the world. Sounds like some of the recent politicians who are talking about, they're really tugging on our heartstrings about health care and the need for health care. What it is they want to be in control of our health care, is really what that is all about. And so they can eventually turn that health care over to the World Health Organization. You notice how that's come into the forefront. We've heard more from the World Health Organization lately than we've heard from since its inception after World War II. It's becoming the focus, the world, globalization, this globalization plan. Number five is gender equality, which simply means whatever gender you choose to be, you will receive equal rights as guaranteed by the world authority. If you're not satisfied, this is what they don't put in there. If you're not satisfied with your gender, you can change that gender and you can remain, you can still have the equal rights that are given to you, whatever gender you may choose. Listen to what is being said by the Democratic Party. As a matter of fact, you read this list, and what you will see is the 2030 globalization plan actually has become the platform of the Democratic Party. Green energy, health care for all, another one of those, education for all. You can read it, you see it, this is what's happening. You listen to what they're saying whenever they say everyone will receive a free college education. It's in there. Everyone will receive free health care. It's in there. Everyone, you know, all of the things, you know, it's a clean, sustainable energy. Everyone thought that came from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the squad members, Ilhan Omar. But no, where that came from is this 2030 agenda. They are pushing that today like never before. And what this will do, this is my point, this is why I'm bringing this up. What this will do is that will usher us into the period of tribulation. It'll, and I say us, I'm talking about the world. I am not talking about here in this message what I'm going to try to bring to you. I'm not talking about the rapture of the church. That is something different. I'm not talking about what will happen with the church, because the church, when it's raptured, we will be in heaven. As a matter of fact, I believe in Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1, when John said, I heard a voice of the trumpet speaking unto me, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and he was before the God's throne. I believe at that point, according to the promise that was given to the church of Philadelphia in chapter number 3, that the church of God, the blood-bought believers, that they will be in the presence of Almighty God. And we will not go through any part whatsoever of the tribulation period. Yet you guessed it, I'm premillennial. Not, and I am even more narrow than that. I am pre-trib. So if you want to put me in a box, that's the box you can put me in, okay? But what I am is I'm thinking about something that Schofield had put in his study notes and I'd looked at years ago. I'm looking at it again. And it is in his notes. If you have a Schofield Bible, you'll notice at the bottom of the page. And by the way, that's commentary. That's not Bible. It may be in your Bible, but it is not the Bible. Be careful of that. Whenever Jesus said in verse number 39, "Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," Schofield, in his notes, he said, there are three untils that must happen before Israel will receive God's blessing. So my focus in this message is how we are being pushed, and our vision is going toward the end times. As a matter of fact, one thing that's happened with me over the past few months is I have come to the point where I'm no longer really using cash anymore. You know, you pull cash out of your pocket, you hand it to the next guy, he touches it, it goes in the till, they give it to someone else touches it, they give it to the next, and there's no telling where that money has been, whose hands have been on it, what might be on that money. Matter of fact, the U.S. Treasury tells us that there are traces of cocaine on at least 80% plus of all of our paper money. You don't know where that money's been. Well, I've come to the point where I'm not really using a lot of cash. I'll use my card, my debit cards a lot of time. And what that has done is we see how that it is being recommended by WHO and by the Infectious Disease Committee and specialists. Don't use cash. As a matter of fact, I think part of this conspiracy was the coin shortage that came up. I believe that was a shortage of convenience, so people would not be using cash. And what will happen is there's coming a day when one man, one person will take over the banking and the capital of the world, and you will have to have his mark before you can buy, sell, or trade. We're headed in that direction. It's already being put in our head. We're already being prepared for that time. When we go to Venezuela, last time we were there, no one was using cash. Everyone was using debit cards. In India, they are asking everyone there, use your debit cards, your credit cards. They're telling us, use touchless payments where you can order online or through the app in many of these restaurants and different places, and you can pick it up and you never have to touch money. You see how things are changing, how our freedoms are being taken away. We're being told you cannot gather in groups of more than 6 to 10 people. You have to distance yourself. 6 to 10 feet from everyone. You have to wear masks in order not to spread the virus through your saliva. I would not recommend sitting on the first row this morning. As a matter of fact, Dr. Cooper's a little too close for comfort because I can get excited sometimes. That's why I keep my handkerchief. Sometimes a little saliva might slip out. So this 2030, keep your eyes on this. Watch this agenda. There's a copy of it there. If you want to make more copies of it, whatever you'd like to do, doesn't matter. I'll leave that one there. And as a matter of fact, along with that, I have this article. It was on the World News Daily. And it was written, I copy these things, I keep copies of them. This was in 2000. This was written in September, on September the 30th of 2015. This was just about 1 month before the election in 2015. President Trump went into office January of 2016. The election was in November, so this was just about a month before that. What happened? The headline is Obama puts U.S. on the fast track to world government. And it has a picture of Pope Francis there speaking to the UN and President Obama standing with him, other leaders. And this, again, this is that UN 2030 agenda. And it's right here. I'll put it with that. You can look through all of those things. So what I'm telling you about, this is not my opinions. This is not some fantasy world. But these are the facts of what is happening right now. And another thing that is happening right now, according to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, at the end of the 9th chapter, one of the greatest prophecies that is given to us of all the prophecies of the end times is Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. So how many of you you've heard someone mention Daniel's 70-week prophecy? Well, in Daniel chapter number 9, I will go there. I saw a couple of heads that were shaking in the negative. And we'll just read what was revealed to Daniel by the angel Gabriel. And by the way, some people believe that the messenger of the book of the Revelation is Gabriel. It's something to think about. Whether it is or not, I don't know. I'm getting there. I'm slow sometimes. It's somewhere in the Old Testament, right? Most of you are probably already there. I'm not as fast as I used to be, Brother Cooper. All right. In Daniel chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 26, this is Gabriel speaking to... Now let's go back to verse number 25. Gabriel speaking to Daniel about the end of times. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times." You see, verse 24 tells us that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and the holy city. If you want to know what's happening in end times, if you want something to gauge end times by, something as a reference, a measuring point, watch what's happening in Jerusalem. All prophecy, it focuses on Jerusalem. Jesus, as he was speaking, he was lamenting. He was crying over the unrepentance of Jerusalem. Here, Gabriel tells Daniel that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and anoint the most holy. 70 weeks. These are 70 time periods. Our King James translators call them weeks, but these are actually time periods of 7 years. The Hebrew word is Shabuah. It doesn't mean 7 days. It means a period of 7 years. In verse number 27, you see, in this prophecy, he talks about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. That was the first 7 weeks after 49 years from the time Daniel prophesied that. At 49 years later, exactly, Zerubbabel, along with Ezra, it was Cyrus, the Medo-Persian king, who said that the nation of Israel, who was in captivity, you can go back to your homeland, you can begin to return to your homeland. And as after he made that decree, Israel began to return, and the city was rebuilt. Then the next set of weeks, that has been fulfilled. The first set of weeks has been fulfilled. Israel returned. Israel rebuilt their homeland. They repaired the temple, though it did not have the glory that it had under the days of Solomon. Never did. Never did. And then it says in verse number 25, it says, it shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. In other words, 62 weeks. And until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be cut off. And verse number 26 tells us, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people and the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. And it was exactly from the time Israel went back to their home, from the decree of Cyrus, you go forward, 62 times 7 is 434. 434 years later, you know what happened? John the Baptist was standing there by the River Jordan, and he declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The Messiah came. The Messiah was cut off. It was not for him. It was a substitutionary sacrifice. He died for your sin, for my sin, for the sins of the entire world. Between the cutting off of the Messiah here, says the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, the end thereof, and a flood, and unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. There's a gap in the weeks, an undetermined amount of time. And what that gap in those weeks is, it is the age of grace, the dispensation of grace, the calling out of the church. From the time the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He ascended into heaven, and the day of Pentecost until today, the church is here. And it will continue on for an undetermined amount of time. I believe we are right at the very end of that determined time. And what's going to happen is there are going to be desolations and wars that are determined. And that is a prophecy, a foretelling of the period of tribulation. And when he talks about the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, a period of tribulation. Then he makes this statement, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." 1 week, one Shabuah, a 7-year time period. "And in the midst of the week, He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." He said, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." There's going to be a covenant. Remember, our focus is Israel. The church has been raptured. We're looking at Israel. There's a peace agreement that's going to be made in the nation of Israel. And the peace agreement that is made, there have been presidents since, I cannot remember, I guess since World War I, after the end of World War I, when we became more of a global society, after the first global war. Presidents have been trying to establish a covenant of peace with the nation of Israel. through the Balfour Declaration, and through the returning of land and allowing Israel, the Jews, to come back to their land of Israel in 1948. They were recognized again by the United Nations as a nation. They were giving national sovereignty. And what is going to happen is, since that time, since 1948, there have been nations that have wanted to destroy Israel. As a matter of fact, when Cyrus... let's go back further than that. We go back to Nebuchadnezzar, who came in 605 B.C. and captured Jerusalem, and he carried Judah away captive. And since that time, there have been wars and desolations. And from the time of Nebuchadnezzar and through the time of Cyrus, and even when Cyrus and his armies were defeated by Alexander the Great, the Greeks, and the Greeks were defeated by the Roman armies, and it was the Romans who called this land Palestine. It was no longer Israel. There was no king in Israel since the days even before Nebuchadnezzar. You go back and you read in 2 Kings. You can read all about this. It's in the Bible. In the book of 2 Kings, Pharaoh Necho, the Pharaoh of Egypt, came and he captured Jerusalem. He took the king that was there. Josiah was king. Josiah died in battle. When Josiah died in battle, his son was put in his place. Pharaoh Necho came and took Josiah's son and carried him away captive into Egypt and placed great taxes and tax burdens upon the nation of Israel. And just three short years later is when Nebuchadnezzar came, and at the Battle of Carchemish, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were all taken captive into Babylon. And then 3 years later, he came again and he destroyed the temple and took away all of the dishes and all of the pans and the altars and everything that was in the temple. And you read about that when Belshazzar was having a big party one night and he called for all of the things of the temple in Jerusalem to be brought before him. And the hand wrote on the wall, "Many, many, Tekel Upharsin, thou have been weighed in the balance and found wanting." Since that time, the nation of Israel, they were no longer Israel. They no longer had a temple. They no longer celebrated Jubilee. They no longer celebrated their independence and their freedom. But in 1948, 2,000 years later, all of that changed and Israel became a nation again. Recognize, never happened before in the history of the world. Every other civilization that had been taken, captured, they disappeared, and they were forgotten, but not Israel. And that confirming of the covenant, this was the point I was getting to. That confirming of the covenant, other presidents have tried it. Hoover tried it. Roosevelt, when he was in office, he tried it. One of the most famous ones that I can remember, he was known as the Great Negotiator. Anytime they needed someone to negotiate confrontation, they would bring in President Carter. You know, President Jimmy Carter, he was one of the great negotiators. He was able to bring parties together. He was an intercessor. He tried it. As a matter of fact, he even got the head of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, and Menachem Begin, the man who was in the head of Israel at that time, he even got them to come to Camp David, and they sat down and they signed a peace accord. And I remember the preachers preaching back in the 1970s how that the great agreement has now been signed. The covenant will soon be broken. I remember the preaching even back then. I also remember preachers preaching about, you know, the Bible talks about the 10 kingdoms that are going to arise and will be prominent during the tribulation period. And they said that's the commonwealth of nations. But there is no commonwealth of nations. Others said it's the European League. There is no longer a European League. We still don't know exactly what that will be, but we know it will be, and it will happen. Well, all of these other things have happened. You know who has made the greatest and most progress of any other president in signing peace agreements for Israel? You know who that president is? Yes, President Trump. President, over the past year, there have been a normalization of relations between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, between Bahrain and Israel, between Sudan and Israel. Matter of fact, it was Sudan who protected Osama bin Laden after the destruction of the Twin Towers. It was Sudan that kept us from capturing him for many years. But now they have normalized and made peace with the U.S. and with Israel. You know who Trump did that? And Serbia, Kosovo, four nations in the last year. Nations that most of the world leaders said they will never make an agreement with Israel. Now they have. They have. All of this, you know what it's doing is leading up to. It's leading up to the time of tribulation. Everything is falling in place, isn't it? And I have eight more pages. I'm on this part right here. Okay? I've got eight more. I told Janet last night, I said, you better pray that I don't preach as long as I studied. We would be here for many more hours, but I'm not going to do that. My point is, this morning, and tonight I will get into those three untils. But my point here in this introduction is that the focus, suddenly, it has been accelerated to a global focus. Everything around us accelerated into a global focus. And that everything is being put in place right before our very eyes. If, I'll say this, and this is a parenthetical. If President Trump is reelected, he will be reelected, I believe, for one purpose only. And that is to continue the peace and protection and the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. He will continue on that plan and process. I'm praying that will happen because those who are running against them, they are enemies of Israel. As a matter of fact, they're the ones who signed the agreements to allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons under the guise, the pretense of renewable, sustainable energy, nuclear energy. And it was also that same party, that same group, that sent a pallet load of billions of dollars in payment to Iran just a few days before their presidency ended. The enemies of Israel. So you see, it used to be, I'm closing. It used to be, and a lot of the conservative radio and television hosts, they've said this, a lot of them have said this. It used to be that both of our major parties in the U.S., they had the same goal in mind, but they had different ideas and philosophy in reaching that goal. The goal was freedom, liberty, justice for all. That was the goal. One party said it comes from the top down. The other party says it comes from the bottom up. But the goal was always there. What has happened over the past 4 years with the attempted implementation of this globalization plan is one of these parties, they are now thinking on a global scale. They are now trying to change our values to make us much more like the rest of the world, to take away our individual liberty, to remove the First Amendment rights of free speech, to remove our rights to bear arms. They are trying to change all these because they no longer have the same goal in mind. It is now a globalization, and it is a preparation for the end of times. The key: watch Jerusalem. Watch Jerusalem. What is what's happening there today? Well, I'll get into that a little bit more tonight, and we'll look a little bit more about these three untils. This is what Schofield had to say. Israel must say, first of all, blessed is he, and the rest of that scripture is, cometh in the name of the Lord. Number two, the Gentile world powers must run their course. And number three, the elect number of Gentiles must be brought in. And chapter number 24, chapter number 25, they are an answer to those three untils. So it answers that, those two chapters answer that threefold question. We won't look at all of that, we won't have time to look at all of that, but we'll look at some of that tonight. But what I want you to do is I want you to be ready because Jesus is coming soon. For us who believe, for us, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, our next step will be on heaven's shore. The next sound we're listening for is the sound and the voice of that trumpet saying, come up hither. But if you have not prepared for the sounding of the trumpet, if you have not prepared for the end of this age of grace, I beg you, I ask you, be prepared today. The Old Testament prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can either stand at the judgment seat of Christ where our works as a believer are judged, or you can stand before the judgment, the great white throne judgment of God, where your sins will be condemned and cast forever into hell, and hell into, and death into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire into outer darkness, forever separated from God. Don't let that happen to you. As I said, these are not my opinions. These are not things that, you know, I'm making up or thinking. What I've tried to bring to you this morning are the facts of what is happening before our very eyes right now. Right now. God's Word's true. And it's going to come to pass. You be prepared. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's stand together. Let's come with a song of invitation this morning. I trust that we are all ready. I trust we all are prepared. If you are not, I would beg you, I would plead with you, come today. You do not want to face the things that are coming upon this earth, the judgments that are coming. You do not want to face death and the second death, eternal separation from God and death in hell. You do not want to face that. Or maybe you're not prepared. Maybe you haven't. You're not living like you ought to before God. You're not living as close to God as you should. And today's the day to come. Make things right, because one day we are going to stand before the great judge. Let's be prepared. Page number 816.